everybody, and welcome to the Declarations of War podcast. I am your host, Alexeyev Card, joined by my co-host, Yin Tan.
Howdy, howdy.
And Artemis Albosa. Our special guest this evening, Rila Tanal, the founder and organizer of the best EVE live event going today, Theomachy.
What's up?
What is Theomachy? Well, we're going to get into that in a second. First off, some shout-outs. A shout-out to Sour, one of my coworkers at Twitch, who has just yesterday created an EVE account. Looking forward to getting him addicted. And hopefully, you know, maybe recruiting him. Certainly going to try. Ian?
Give me a second. Yeah, my shout-out is going to be to Invisaria, who is the man who made some amazing propaganda featuring myself. But I also have another shout-out to Cal Noor, who asked me to lead a FCing lesson with Brave, and I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Artemis?
Right on. My shout-out's going to be to Delator for running the MCAT team this year. If anybody else is ramping up their Alliance Tournament training and are interested in some scrimmages, contact Delator. That's D-E-L-E-T-O-R, by the way.
A very quality captain. Rila?
My corporation, Repercussus, for supporting Theomachy for all these years. Basically, most of the staff is consistent of our corporation.
Nice, and I have a lot of questions about how you guys got into that whole Theomachy business in the first place. But first, I want to plug Declarations of War. We now have advertising slots for the first time in a long while. So if you, your website, your corporation, your alliance, a product or service you would like to sell on Declarations of War, you want to get in on this, it's 500 mil an episode. We'd like to sell them in batches of two, but, you know, totally your call. Contact me in-game, Alexeyev Card, or any of the numerous ways to contact me out-of-game, including Twitter DMs, Slack, Discord, Twitch. You name it, I'm here.
Smoke signals, carrier pigeon, skywriters, if you got a plane.
Very classy, the skywriter. Very classy. Well, we had a poll. Which of these alliances will keep Saab in Blood Raider space on January 1st, 2018? That would be, which of these alliances are still going to be around down there when the very awesome Blood Raider shipyard feature is expected to ship, or shortly before. Well, interesting results. Not sure how these are possible. Goonswarm, the Bastion, and Red Alliance. People both believe that they will have space. Goonswarm has the most votes, 43%. Dream Fleet, 0%. And Voltician Cult, I'm not even fucking around. This is not even a slam against Volt. They have negative 1%. Somehow.
Glorious.
We think this may be a rounding error of some kind, but it's quite appropriate. Oh, poor Volt. It's not going to be good for them, is it?
Well, you know, maybe one day. Maybe one day they'll rekindle themselves.
They could always, like, merge with Bastion. If they wanted to keep their space.
Nah, nobody white dots unless they go into Goonswarm. That's how it works.
I don't think Volition Cult is even worth white dotting at this point.
No, well, yeah. I don't know. Well, you know them best, I think, out of anybody. If they were to white dot, would you, as an alliance leader in general, recruit them, or are they just not worth it?
If Volition Cult were to Y dot into me and I wasn't Goonswarm, I would consider it. There are, like, still, they still bring a lot of dudes, and they do have some competent people within their alliance still. I wouldn't turn them down. But I'd have to thoroughly weigh up if it was worth the pain of having to deal with some of their leadership.
Ooh, savage.
I've made my views that clear before. It's not a new thing.
Alrighty. Let's get into it. Rila Tanal.
Yes, what's up?
How you doing, buddy? I've been trying to get Rila on. I didn't want to have him on without an actual start date for this event that we could plug through the show. Now we have that. So, Rila, welcome to Declarations. We're happy to have you here. Let's get started by talking about, you know, you at the beginning. How did you get started in EVE? How did you even hear about it? What did you do when you started up?
Actually, I started shortly after the beta, and I heard about it just randomly browsing, and I saw the initial trailer to it. I've always liked space sandbox games. There was literally nothing back then. I didn't join the alpha test or whatever it was, beta test, I mean, because at the time I still was on dial-up, so I really couldn't load it at all, but I got into it afterwards, and liked it. I have actually only taken a few breaks. I've actually been playing straight, more or less, except for a few breaks here and there for a year or two, since 2004.
God damn. Well, and I don't mean to be impertinent, but, you know, you've kind of kept a pretty low profile. I didn't even know that you were the lead organizer of Theomachy till this past year. What's been the focus of your EVE career? What are your highlights? What's the goal that drives you, and what have you hit so far in terms of your goals?
Well, I try to do just about anything so I don't get bored. That's the main reason I've been playing for so long. My character, actually, if you put it up in EVE board, is not worth all that much, despite how much SP I have, because I have it in just about everything. I started out, actually, as a miner, but gradually got bored of that, and then went into more PvP. The highlight, probably my first Nullsec room, going 40 jumps in an assault frigate with a fleet, to have my girlfriend get very pissed off at me for being up very late, disconnecting my modem twice during a PvP fight.
Cool. Whoa. I don't know if we could be together after that. If Sarah ever disconnected my modem during a fight, if you ever disconnected my modem during an EVE fight, we'd probably be done, yeah. Right? Yeah. There's no coming back from that. Sorry, go ahead, Rila.
I'm definitely not with that person anymore, because that person proceeded to smash my DSL modem with a hammer after the fight. But I came back because the modem still worked, despite the fact that the cover was knocked off with a hammer.
That's crazy.
Yes, indeed.
Wow, that is the most intense girlfriend aggro I've ever heard of. Jesus.
That's a girlfriend doomsday.
Exactly.
So how did you get the idea for Theomachy? You know, I would guess the Hunger Games, but...
You'd be correct. So in our corporation, we had actually a team in leadership called the Events Team. Our job was basically to run special little events for the members to make them entertained. We would do hauler runs, we'd do these little frigate tournaments. Well, I wanted to do something different. So I've always liked Battle Royale and the Hunger Games, and I decided to give it an EVE flair. So I ran it as a corp event at least twice before a friend of mine approached me to bring it up to CCP. Now, the corp version we've run, and the one y'all actually participate in, has a lot more stringent rules, because we have a lot more, because corp loyalty is a lot more to us. So a lot of our rules we have in Theomachy didn't exist, other than they're just honor rules.
Gotcha. And did you have the same sort of format? Because I've only participated once last year, and the sheer number of ships, it looked like it took you guys forever to get those fitted up and distributed.
You have no idea how long they took. Thank God for multi-fit. That's all I got to say. But actually, when we were doing it as a corp event, we didn't have as many people participating because it was just a corp event. So at most, maybe 20 people. So I only had to make maybe 200, 300 ships. And I make about one fit per ship, or two or three fits per ship, and about five copies of it. With Theomachy, there's about four frigate fits, two cruiser fits, two destroyer fits, one battleship fit, one battlecruiser fit, and I make multiple copies of each one. So I ended up in each of the Theomachy have about 1,100 to 2,000 ships.
Wow. Good lord.
And until MultiFit came along, CCP actually helped me because they actually have an internal tool that allows them to fit multiple ships at once. So CCP actually managed to fit all the ships, a good portion of them, for me.
But prior to CCP's help, was it just you, or did you have a team helping you? Because that has to take days.
We had about 5 or 6 people helping me fit ships, because I didn't need that as many. It didn't take nearly as long. But yeah, auto-fit, until MultiFit came along, yeah, that it still took hours. And until before Citadels, logistics moving those ships around was a pain, especially when Titans couldn't dock. So basically, we had 2 Titans sitting outside a station, undock with a carrier, load the Titan up, Titan would warp to a POS, load the POS up, warp back to the warp back to the station, back and forth.
Wow.
And then after that, you had to set up all the bubbles.
Bubbles, we didn't have to use that many of them. We use about 1 large bubble per beacon, but we've actually reduced that in size because it was kind of oppressive with how big the bubbles were. That's one of the feedback comments I got from the second event, I believe.
Oh, when it was just your corp. And by the way, you should plug your corp name. I don't think you have yet.
Repercussus, that was one actually my shout-out as well.
Okay. Your corp event, what was the size? And then when you did your first public, what was the size there? And then how many participants were last year?
Sorry, repeat the question. I was typing to a coworker.
just trying to get a sense of like progression and scale. When you first started the corporate event, how many people participated? And when you first launched it public, how many people? And then last year, how many people?
It's kind of hard to get that example. I'd say 20 to 25 corp mates participated in it. I even opened it to Alliance. When, at that point, we were in Razor Alliance still. And we opened it to Alliance, but a few people from Alliance participated, but not many. As far as the first, we had a registration cap of 400 the first year. We had that maxed out in 2 weeks. But wow. Only 250 people showed up. So after that, I've not set a registration cap, because I know 25% of people will sign up but not show up.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, it wasn't... every year since the first one has been lower, but it hasn't been below 200, at least.
And are you at liberty to disclose the current registration levels?
Actually, I'd have to put it in a spreadsheet, but it's actually on the website itself. Last time I asked the database owner, it was over 150. I haven't checked in a couple days. I try not to look at it unless, because I was watching it the first couple days when it was growing.
Nice. And finally,
to later that day, later the day about it.
Oh, no worries. And for our viewers who maybe are just listening to this episode for the first time and haven't been tracking our discussion of the Theomachy event, why don't you give people a really high-level overview of what to expect this year in terms of format, any kind of special events and elements to the thing? Say someone's never heard of Theomachy before, hype them up and get them in the door.
Okay. So... a few things. We actually change the event every time, add more things to it, especially as CCP adds more stuff to the game. One thing I wanted to do the first year, which CCP was able to do, was basically create a wormhole effect to a solar, one of the event systems, you know, like add, make it a pulsar, make it, and then change it to something else, but they can't do that. But because CCP added the the generators for the Titans that change the system like a wormhole.
Oh, we're gonna have the tags.
Yeah, we're gonna have 4 of those in the arena. They'll change location, change the arena's effects every so often.
Huh.
That's super interesting. So, and for those not following, the arenas are basically separate warpable areas within a system. They're large bubbles and tons of empty ships, and you lose when you get potted. So if you die, you can go in there and grab a new ship, but you're risking death. And you're telling me that each of these is going to have essentially a new wormhole effect?
Yes. The Titan will have four Titans. They'll probably just randomly warp whenever I tell them to. Because I know they probably don't stack. I haven't actually looked at them to see if they stack, because it'd be hilarious to have all four on the same beacon.
They do stack.
Oh.
Tegs themselves do stack. Not with themselves, but each of the racial ones will stack with the other one. They cancel each other out to a degree, though, because of what it does, and it effectively is negative total resist.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that eliminates that theory. So, and the other thing about Thunderdome, since we're doing the event on Thunderdome, which adds one other element to it, Alpha clones are allowed, and CCP is giving them Omega clone status for this event only on this Thunderdome server. So, wow. Skill will have no restriction at all.
Now, the way I read it, you're giving everybody max skills. Is that right?
Yes. The only skill that you cannot access will be cloaking.
Gotcha. So, that being said, is there a chance we might see some unusual or very blingy type ships make it into the pile, like a super cap or a capital ship available to get in?
Super caps? No. Just because it would be very We actually added dreads last year. We had one dread each of each race. We told the participants there are four dreads. However they're fitted is up to you to find out. And what they were actually fitted with still made them stronger than any battleship fit in the arena, even some of ours, EHP-wise, because they were fitted with polarized weapons.
Nice.
They still had more EHP than most of the ships there, but the advantage they had was they could be they were basically mobile refitting platforms, because this was when dreads were given the ability for refitting. I didn't put carriers because a lot of the players didn't want the carriers to be there because fighters are kind of OP. I even thought about doing support carriers, but a lot of people in the Diamaki Discord said, no, please no carriers. So I'm not doing carriers.
It would probably be balanced if you gave them one flight of drones.
I thought of giving them just only support fighters, but that was turned down. There is a blingy fit of ships, and it usually goes into the area. Like every year, I query the top 5 or top 10, and they submit a fit to me with specific restrictions. No AT prize ships and so forth. No cloaks. No covert op ships of any kind. And they get put in a beacon. It's called the Winner's Circle. And then it opens up eventually during the event. And last year we had a Kronos. We had a Barghest. The Kronos was actually pretty strong too, but no one managed to get it. We had a Nestor, a really blingy Nestor, and some of those assortment of other ships. But now
I remember seeing the Kronos, I think, but I never had the opportunity to hop in it.
Yeah, it was submitted by the winner of the year event before that, I believe. Robbie Godfather submitted that one.
Nice. So it's the top 10 of the previous year's tournament.
Yes. And you can get very blingy ships. We had ISD helping us last year. Since CCB won't spawn AT prize ships for us on Singularity when we were doing it on that server, ISD was using AT ships. They were flying around as squadrons of Cambions. And a group of destroyers and frigates ganged up on one ISD pilot, blew up his Cambion, and one of the winners in the top 5 stole his, and still had it, in his Phantasm, a Estimal Invuln.
Nice.
So,
very nice little prize.
Good stuff off the wrecks, because our ships are blinged out to hell because we're expected to fight 25 people. Because they'll gang up, our defensives will gang up on us. They have done it in the past.
You guys have been pretty good at rolling around and crushing blobs, though. There weren't too many that were successful at beating you from what I remember.
Yeah, that is actually like an uphill battle. You have no idea. Actually, two or three people from the event that have actually participated actually helped out as overseers last year. And they, I think one of them was Starfleet Commander and Mystical Might. Mystical Might has actually done one of the best high-end. The first year he got almost every single achievement by himself.
Wow.
And he played as an overseer this time, and he told me after the event, now I know how hard it is for you guys to fight the big blobs, because they're always hard to know, because they can just split up. We're looking for like 20 ships grouped or 15 ships grouped together. You see, if you have a large fleet split up, it's very hard to attract them.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first year, the biggest blob was 40 people. It was a Spectre fleet and Brave Newbies formed an entire a big blob of fleet ships that we had to hunt down all event.
Of course.
They turned our troll ships against us. That's the other thing about the event. There's a troll fit version of each hull in the event. And I mean, when I mean by troll, I mean, let's see, civilian blasters on it, festival launchers. Well, that year there was a Cursus that had warp core stabs, an MWD, and an inertial stabilizer, and there's like five of them. Brave Newbies got that, and we could not catch them. We switched out to whiptails to try to catch them.
I was in one of the troll fits. I was in a troll fit Tempest. It was like, it had six smart bombs on it. I was like, what the fuck is this? I tried making it work for a little bit. I like hopped to the edge of a bubble and tried to blow people up, but even that wasn't working. And I was like, oh, screw this. And I think I hopped in an Osprey or something.
Yeah, I want to say the whole thing there just sounds like, As a DM of a couple of pen and paper role-playing campaigns, that sounds like when you give your party some sort of useless trinket and you think, ha, they'll think that's good, and then they somehow manage to bend the rules against you and it becomes a central part of the plot. I do love the Theomachy for that reason, though. It does seem like you guys are just DMing a campaign, but in EVE, and I love it.
Speaking of turning, so the winner of the first event was actually a troll fit. It
wow.
It was a tech 2 passive regen, pure shield regen Drake.
Well, that's not a troll fit. That's just OP.
And it was three ships left. There was a Caldari Navy. It was a Navy Caracal that was actually fitted for us. Apparently, it was a mistake in logistics dropping one of our fit ships, which was a purely fit Tech 2 Navy Caracal, and there's a Merlin. What did they do? They gang up on the Merlin, not shoot the Drake. They gang up on the Merlin. Merlin dies. So you have this Drake and this Caracal fighting each other, and it takes at least 45 minutes for the Drake's poor missile damage to actually kill the Caracal.
But the Caracal couldn't break the regen.
Nope,
back.
It could not. It cannot break it at all.
Oh, man. Oh, buff the Caracal Navy. CC, please.
The Caracal Navy is so bad.
Yeah, I want to like it because it has a cool-sounding bonus, but in practice, it's super useless.
We also do these special little emergency events, like we had little haulers would fly around the system to get ganked and have basically loot pinatas. One of the events I run is you have to kill the... kill the head overseer's flagship. It's been a goal in each time. I have a surprise plan for now that I can use Thunderdome ships for this year. The first year, no one shot it. Or no, it shot, but people gave up attacking it. Second year, I got ganged up on by 15 people. So my golem was blinged out, but when you're neutered out, even a marauder can't tank forever.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this year... give them a day, time, and what's the website? How to register? Because this sounds like if you're an alpha especially, like the opportunity to get every ship and every skill max to 5 and go brawl with everybody at an even skill footing, I mean, how many opportunities are you guys going to get that? So make sure that you're there for this. What is the day? What is the time? How can people register?
All right, so it's at 2000 EVE time. And on June 3rd, the way to register is on our website, www.theomachy.com. It's actually the top of the page. We use the Crest login, because we have to give all the account names the characters to CCP so they can migrate your account to Thunderdome. Registration is actually cut off at May 25th at 2000 EVE time. That's because we need time for CCP to get all the accounts migrated, and then at least a week to verify you can actually log into Thunderdome and you don't have technical problems. It's recommended to receive any of the information about that, be in our Discord, which is linked on our website. I can also provide the link here as well. Or the Theomachy mailing list itself in-game.
All right, looking forward to seeing all of my listeners there. If you want to be on Team Declarations of War, the Capitalist Army is going to be a very small, modest fleet. I'm not looking to get wrecked by the tournament organizers, but I'm hoping we can field 3 to 5 pilots. So if you want to get in on that, by all means. Let's move on to Yin. Congratulations, Yin. This is your first time on the show since you've been reelected.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely great. I got reelected with a really, really... I actually reached my goal in terms of the CSM vote this year. I got 7.3% of all the ballots. Like, if you look at every single ballot that was cast, I was on 7.3% of them. I'm, like, astounded at that and really happy.
Do you feel big league now that you've won an election despite losing the popular vote?
I do. I feel like I should start making grandiose statements.
I agree. I think it would be much more entertaining. Certainly brighten up your Twitter. How was FanFest? I wanted to do like this whole like FanFest reporting thing, but didn't really come together with you being busy. But how was FanFest? What are some highlights?
I kind of spent most of FanFest working with CCP and to a lesser extent the press that were there. Although I did get some very good time with my court mates as I was staying in an apartment with PTB, my corporation. And I don't really have super huge amounts to report on, but I would like to say that I at the pub crawl got so drunk that I made it into not one but two separate articles where they talked about how drunk I was.
Certainly an achievement.
That is an achievement. I can put that on my tombstone.
On the topic of FanFest, while there, Jin met up with a member of Noir. His name is Ed Silver. And he managed to snap a photo. And my alliance, this photo went through every single Slack channel. And every single time, the initial response was, holy cow, Jin is a tiny human being.
Please post this in Slack.
It is.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
It is in the TeamSpeak. Alec, you can throw it up on stream now. Note, Ed Silver, he's German. He's not particularly tall, right? We're not sticking a giant next to Jin just to make fun of him, but it was the talk of the town for at least 3 days after FanFest when this photo got around.
And yeah. Just, you guys can't see this on the stream. I will put it in the show notes just to make it that much clearer. Ed has his hand on Yin's head. Like a basketball.
That was great. By the way, meeting Celine was so awesome at FanFest. I met him at the party at the end of the world, and he put a Mercenary Coalition pin in the suit that I was wearing. It looked pretty fucking dope, not gonna lie.
MC swag, best swag. But
yeah,
the best reaction to Jin's stature that I heard was there's just so much spunk in such a little punk.
Phrasing.
Unintended, as I understand it.
Phrasing. Oh, that is pretty awesome. So, you said that you hit your goal. What are your thoughts on the election in general? And do you have any impressions of the incoming CSMs that you're going to be working with this year?
Yeah, I'm really, really happy with the people who've come in. Yukiko, specifically, has really impressed me so far. As well as Reload and Suetonia. Vint has been kind of quiet. From what I understand, he's kind of busy running his alliance, which I can very much understand. But I think he's gonna do great. Yeah, like, the only problem is I'm sad to see, a couple of people leaving the CSM, when it comes to CSM 12.
Who are you gonna miss?
Solemn Decimus is gonna be a big loss. Nash is gonna be a big loss. To a degree, Hyde and Kyle Apathos will also be missed. Bob Mod and Zenuria weren't bad either.
Yeah, we have a pretty star-studded roster. I'm pretty happy with how the CSM turned out, but Yeah, you mentioned a lot of great names, people that really stepped up and did well.
Yeah, no, I'm very optimistic. We've just kind of been able to get them on board to the CSM stuff proper. I put out my my CSM communication guide, although that met some interesting clarifications there from Noobman. I'm looking forward to making CSM 12 even better than CSM 11.
Awesome.
Out of curiosity, the vote numbers did come out. We got a final tally. How does the number of votes, like, in total, stack up compared to previous years? Does anybody
bigger
know?
Bigger than CSM 11. I believe it's just about on par with CSM 9 and CSM... Like, there was a huge spike at around CSM, I think, 6.
7, yeah.
Well, there was just huge amounts of people voting. And we've kind of gone back down to the CSM 8, CSM 9 kind of levels. Not quite the dip that CSM 11 was.
Yeah, so it's more than last year, not record-breaking. So pretty middle of the road. I would consider it expected levels for... it seems to be like that's pretty much where most modern CSM votes are falling, aside from 6 and 7.
Yeah, I'd like to get back up to the 6 and 7, don't get me wrong, though. I think there's obviously stuff that CCP and the CSM can do to make sure that the vote does get out more, but that's a topic for an entirely another time, I think.
Oh, yeah, well, and there's the perennial push to get the CCP to put voting in the game and various other promotional aspects. CSM 7, CSM 6, you got to keep in mind the times. You know, it was kind of a crisis mode for EVE. A lot more players were politically aware at that time.
Aye.
It's hard to get turnout when everything's going fine, you know?
You know, I think that's always going to be a problem, though. People vote because they want to see something fixed. They don't vote because they want to see something continued. Although there are things that obviously should be fixed in the game right now, you know. There are still
things but nothing
to talk to CC about it.
No crises, I would say, just like stuff that needs to get fixed when it can get fixed. There's nothing like crippling the game at the moment.
Yeah, it's not like the game is about to fucking break. CCP, please.
Yeah, exactly. There's no greed is good level things going on. There's no game hasn't been developed essentially in 2.5 to 3 years, which is what was happening in 6 and 7.
Yep. It's, you know, slightly better. We've gone from DEFCON like 1 to DEFCON 3, I reckon.
All right. Let's talk about the big story that everyone wants to get to, the anime war. This is by far the most interesting thing happening in 00 right now. How could it not be? It has captured the imagination of Reddit, it has captured the imagination of shitposters, it has captured the imagination of propaganda makers, it has captured the imagination of yours truly. Yintan, you are content Moses. You're letting your Moe people go. Talk to us about what the fuck is happening here. How did this entire situation start?
Well, there's three real layers here, so I'm gonna go through them one by one. Starting at the most top level, which is that Reza does not like me, and as a result of that,
now who is Reza?
Reza the news is
these?
The leader of Waffles, which is a sub. I hesitate to call them like pets or subdivisions or a SIG or something like that of PL, because they do have a noticeably different culture and way of operating compared to PL, but they will always 100% work with PL. So I don't really know what to call them, but they're like, I enjoy calling them PL Zero. They're, you know, all of the taste with none of the flavor.
Wow. Okay.
So that was due to some other things we'll go into later. But in general, he hates me more than he hates quote unquote weebs, which are people who enjoy anime. So he's offered to unban anime from the Waffles Discord if I am to be if 10 of my corpses can be provided.
20.
No, excuse me,
10 for the unbanned, 20 for the permaban.
20 to be permanently banned forever.
Yes, yes.
So that's kind of a nice, like, pretty funny thing. And the second is, like, the reason why Reza hates me is because I went on a podcast with him in Crossing Zebras where I very angrily shouted him down because I didn't agree with his opinions and I thought he was arguing like a shitbag. That's pretty much the long and short of it. And
what did you call him?
I called him a disingenuous piece of shit, because he was being a disingenuous piece of shit. Stand by it. Like, his points do have merit. Like, I'm not trying to to disagree with, like, the core of his points, but, like, he was arguing in such a philosophical way that I couldn't let it slide. Like, it annoyed me on a deep personal level. So
what were you guys even arguing about that this became a thing?
He was arguing about how LoSEC hadn't had any changes made to it in the past. I think he said since it was either like 2008 or 2011.
Since Faction Warfare, I believe, was it.
Well, that's bullshit.
Yeah, since the introduction of Faction Warfare. And I was like, no, just nothing has been done which has changed what you want to do in LoSEC. That doesn't mean that no changes have been made to LoSEC. And he disagreed with that, so we got quite heated about it, and it was good fun. Nice, very angry argument that a lot of people enjoyed. It's by far the most viewed episode of Crossing Zebras in a long time.
I mean, if I recall correctly, the topic of discussion was the new refining array thing, the new moon miners, right?
Yeah, which obviously, considering I was sitting there with three other LoSEC dudes, they just took it as a time to circle jerk about how CCP doesn't care about LoSEC. Just saying.
Wow.
Hi, and Reza, come at me. But no, like, yeah, there are obviously problems there. I'm not trying to diminish that, but still, come on, please.
Yeah, that's a bit of an over exaggeration.
Subject with the amount of like weight it deserves. Like, talk realistically, and you'll make a lot more things happen than if you just use What's the word that means like more hyperbole? That's it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
some interesting conclusions I've been drawing from this anime war is that there's a very high correlation between the number of people who dislike anime and people who dislike Jintan. Like, because the rules, as I understand it, that Reza has set out. Is that there are two teams. There's hashtag Team 10 and hashtag Team 20. Team 10, they're trying to get 10 corpses such that they can turn it in, and anime is now allowed for Waffles. Team 20, get 20 corpses in, anime is permanently banned, never to show up again. And as I understand it, Team 20 has got a commanding lead in the number of corpses turned in. So either Team 10 is just too busy watching their anime to actually participate in PvP, or Team 20 is just full of people who extremely dislike Jintan.
I think people just enjoy fighting. Like, at the end of the day, it's an excuse to have a war, and I think that's the third and final level that I want to talk about. It's just that Waffles is bored, probably is very easy content, PL is right next door, so you never have to worry about getting overblobbed by Provi. So why not just come down and dunk on us?
So I was doing a thing yesterday, and I'll talk a little bit more about it in depth, but I was talking about, e-politics, and the anime war got brought up, and someone in my chat, my stream chat, was asking, could this just be a cover? No, they weren't asking, they had a theory, that this was just a cover to stockpile strategic resources near Providence as a stage for a potential invasion, to get outposts for the faction outpost release that's going to come in a couple months. Do you think there's any credence to that?
I think there's 100% credence for that. Although that's more... That's not something that's going to happen right now. There's no way that PL is going to take, probably, and hold it for the 4 or 5 months it's going to take for that to happen, because there's no reason for them to. It'll happen like a month or two before the change, maximum.
Right, that's what I thought.
Yeah. And then so, probably at NAM, we'll rise again.
What has happened so far? We've seen plenty of battle reports going on. Have any strategic objectives flipped from Pravi over to PL Waffles? Have they taken any Sov? Have they reinforced any key systems? Or is it just a bunch of good fights so far?
They've been mostly focusing on reinforcing citadels and killing some of our pauses in Losec. And that's pretty much been it. I know today that there were two TCU timers in GTAC 5 and YWSO. I believe the first one of those has been successfully defended by Provi. We'll have to see how it goes on the second one. But yeah, in general, it's not been too active because it's not really much to do unless you want to start intosising stuff.
But well, okay, it's been fun. Could hit bosses, could hit citadels.
Yeah, there'll be another fight this coming Wednesday because another citadel's been reinforced into its final timer, so I imagine we'll turn up to that. And I imagine PL and Waffles and MC will too as well.
I do love the fact that you've simply resorted to posting your AARs to Reddit because you know they're going to be leaked anyway.
Well, yeah.
He's just whoring for those upvotes.
Well, I mean,
he knows the game.
He's just cutting out the middleman.
Yeah, yeah. Like, why would you give it to someone who might want to, like, spin it in some mad direction? Just like, no, here's my AAR. It's something that Progod Legend used to do, actually, during some older wars, and I really respected him for it, although that was on Cuckoo. So, you know, I figure, hey, I'm you know, center of attention right now in terms of, like, warfare. Might as well do something I enjoyed seeing other
FCs
do. Yeah.
So this being the anime war, Jin, it must be asked, what is your favorite anime series?
That's, it's an interesting one. I've had that multiple times, and I would say that number one's probably Gunslinger Girls, which is actually an Italian anime.
Gunslinger Girls, really?
Yeah.
Interesting trivia, guys. The original propaganda, logos, branding, etc. for Noir Academy was actually Gunslinger Girls images, and I tried watching one episode of that anime, and I could not bring myself to watch the second episode. It was that bad.
Wow.
It was really cool looking.
Ooh.
It's so depressing. I love it. I watch just the kind of anime that just makes you want to fucking die. It's great.
Is it that depressing? Because it just seems kind of generic.
It's pretty bad.
Okay.
If you just watch the first episode, you aren't getting into it. But like, you know, Puella Majika Madoka is top five for me. Code Geass is probably top five as well.
Ah, Code Geass definitely is up there.
Yeah, you know, I like a lot of anime.
I've probably rewatched more scenes from Code Geass than I have from any other anime, although Evangelion is my top.
I never really enjoyed Evangelion. I know I should really sit down and just, like, plow through it at some point, but...
How far did you get into it?
I got, like, 3 or 4, like, hours worth of watching it into it.
4 hours, okay.
It's, you know, I will do it at some point. Oh, Gundam 00 is also really good.
So the thing with Ava is the first 7 to 8 episodes are essentially a Monster of the Week thing, with some story elements and new characters being added and referenced. And then all that stuff really comes together for, I think it's episode 8 or episode 9, and then from there to the end of the series, it's basically a nonstop roller coaster of fucked up shit.
Yeah, I know, and that's why I that's why I do want to watch it. It's just that I've never, like, it's kind of anime that I feel like I want to watch in just, like, one shot, just, like, sit
down,
plug myself in and be like, I am going to binge watch this over the course of the weekend, and I haven't had a weekend where I felt like I wanted to do that yet.
Well, I recommend it, and I'll trade you. I'll watch Gunslinger Girl if you watch Ava.
Gunslinger Girl is a lot shorter than that, but sure. I will do it at some point. It's just a matter of time for me.
What is your waifu?
I don't have a waifu. Waiting for the...
I've seen you wearing body pillows and a lot of your propaganda. I know you've got some favorites.
That's Empress Katiz, who is the purest waifu for my in-game character.
Let's rephrase the question. You don't have one yet. What's going to be the first one you acquire?
Ooh, yeah.
You cannot have more than one waifu, Artemis. More than one waifu will destroy your laifu.
Waifu for laifu.
So you have a choice. You only get one. Which one is it?
That's not a question I can answer. I haven't found my waifu yet.
And all the true weebs know that you don't just have a waifu has you.
Exactly. You must celebrate her birthday. Oh, gosh.
Now, we've made passing references to the propaganda from this particular war, if you will call it such. But in all reality, it is fantastic. I'd like to call it the best and the worst part of this war, because there's some really fantastic stuff coming out. I'm assuming it's even better for people who understand the references. But there's also some really garbage propaganda coming out, just because some anime fans are not particularly restrained with their posting on Reddit. It's even spawned a filter just for the propaganda from this particular war.
It also spawned a PC game article.
Ah, yes, that was a good article. Probably
my favorite Steve Messner tweet in a long time.
Go check it out.
Where he tweets just a picture of him asking someone the question, haha, are you a weeb? And then quotes, I'm doing serious Eve journalism. It just fucking cracked me up.
Wow.
So, Artemis, you're not an anime fan.
No, I've never seen a single one. Never heard of it.
That's actually pretty surprising, I would think.
Rila, are you an anime fan?
Yes.
All right, what is your favorite series?
I actually don't have a favorite, so I've watched... Well, if it wasn't too short, even though it's... I liked Love Love Eclipse. Total Eclipse. It's kind of short.
Love Love Total Eclipse.
No, it's called... Okay, let me actually type it in chat, because it's hard to pronounce.
Here would be my suggestion for you, Artemis. Because you're not used to anime, I'm going to suggest a comedy anime. I'm going to suggest The Devil Works Part-Time.
Well, before we get into that, let's also get your waifu, and then we'll move on to trying to convince Artemis to watch anime, which is going to be a great segment.
I don't have one, actually, at the moment.
You're all also right, looking
Alexei,
for your anime
you
love?
This as well. Who is your waifu, Alexiev? Come on.
I'm not a hardcore enough weeb to have a waifu, but if I did... It'd probably be Rei Ayanami.
Acceptable choice.
It's an older waifu, sir, but it checks out.
It's funny it's funny you mentioned that, Alex. I have a Stellaris mod that adds that empire, Rei, that empire to Stellaris.
Nice.
Wow. All
right. So, Artemis, we want you to watch anime. We want your life to be better than it is. And, you know, we're friends. And I think it'd be fun if we all go around and pitch Artemis the best starter anime. Now, Artemis, to help us out, help us know a little bit more about your non-anime media tastes. When you go out to the movies, say, what are you into?
I don't actually go out to the movies that often.
All right, so what do you do in your spare time that isn't play EVE Online?
I don't have any spare time after EVE Online there, bud. Sounds like you're not committed enough. No. Apart from EVE Online, I'm generically a nerd. So, a lot of watching educational YouTuber. Yeah, I know. I'm a terrible person. Culturally, forget it. Historically, my cultural references are going to the public library as a kid, renting out old, like, 60s to 80s TV shows. So you've got, like, the A-Team was a big one. Going even older, the F-Troop, watched all of MASH multiple times. So if your new culture has any reference to that, I may understand it.
Actually, okay. I got two ideas, two animes he would be able to watch if he likes EVE Online.
All right, let's have Rila kick it off.
Okay.
Sword Art Online or Log Horizon.
Well, you can't just pitch in the names. You got to sell them on the series. So I pick one of those two and then really hook them.
Sword Art Online is a fantasy MMO that, or becomes a virtual reality MMO, but everyone is trapped in the game, and if they die, they're completely killed in real life because the headset they wear fries their brains. So it's a death game.
All right, I'll go next because I want to claim Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, yeah, boy.
My first corporation in-game was run by a person obsessed with that particular one. And so all of the names, the corporation itself was called Gateway, or the alliance that they formed eventually. And we had the Gateway Cowboys as our training corp, but they never convinced me to take the dive.
Well, hopefully I will. It's a space... based sci-fi, but not like a grand space-based sci-fi thing. It all takes place in our solar system. Things are not that far advanced. Things sort of a little bit more advanced than, say, a Firefly, but not much. You know, the cities are still super dirty. Shit still breaks in starships. It's not Star Trek. It follows a A-team-like crew of misfits that come together. The core of them are bounty hunters, but they're not super elite badasses, so they're pretty damn good. They're struggling for money, like most folks. And then as you go through the story, you get a look at these characters' backstories and, you know, the stories that come out of their pasts before they joined the crew of this ship called the Bebop. It leads to some pretty epic confrontations of the past that they're all running away from. It's very Eve feeling, very Firefly feeling. A little bit of the A-Team is in there as well. I can definitely see some callbacks to it. And it's all done in this very stylish, classic jazz feel. So that's my pitch to you. And it's short, so you can get through it real quick.
That is a surprisingly good pitch.
Yin, do me better.
I am going to pitch Code Geass, specifically the first season, because you'll know
How do you spell this? I'm just trying to parse those syllables here.
Code as in code, space.
Oh, I see.
G-E-A-A-S, as in G-E-A-S. And it's a story about an alternate timeline, a timeline influenced by magical powers that people have got. And that's not particularly important. But what's important to know is that the British Empire never fell in this anime, and it has taken over the world, but not before Napoleon took over Great Britain. So now America is the home of the British Empire, and it has just recently, I think in like the past 10 years, invaded Japan and labeled it, I believe it's District 9? Is it District 9 or 11? Shit.
District 5.
Fuck! I'm bad at my law.
It's a good try, though.
And, effectively...
No, 11's. It's Area 11.
Oh, dear.
It's Area 11. There we go. I was getting confused with District 9. Shit. and, you know, that's... And it's run by... Now run by a brutal, you know... Basically a brutal police state. And that's kind of the backstory. And what you end up doing is you end up following the Prince of Britain, who, is in living in hiding in Japan, as you know, pretending to be an 11, going to a very posh school with all of the, you know, the nobility and the royalty, and trying to hide what he's doing as he watches all the atrocities be committed around him in the name of the empire that he is the heir to. And he comes to hate his past, and one day he runs into a magical thing. It's not quite sure if it's science or magic or just, you know, the universe. And he saves a girl by being granted the power to give people one command that they must follow.
And whoa, spoilers there, bud.
This is in the first episode.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
This is first episode. And then as a result, he goes on a quest for freedom and revenge and all sorts of wonderful classic things. It feels very It's the kind of thing that can only, it's the kind of story that can only really be told well through an animated medium, and it is amazing. So, also, there's some tits at some point, so like, don't watch it with your kids.
And giant robot battles.
Oh yeah, and giant robot battles. There's tons of giant robot battles, and it's awesome. I can't forget that.
Overhearing individuals argue about this topic, I understand there's a bit of contention about whether you should watch an English dub of any particular show, if one exists, or watch one with subtitles, or be a true weeb and learn Japanese. Do we have preferences here?
Yes. I'm this is the most nerdy thing in the world, but because in Code Geass some of the characters are supposed to be speaking in English and some of the characters are supposed to be speaking in Japanese, because of like the thing, you know, that England has invaded Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a version where it was split between dubs and subs. So
wow.
The characters who were supposed to be speaking English were speaking in dubs and the characters who were speaking Japanese were subbed, and that actually increased my immersion in the series.
I would like to see that version. I have watched a bit of both. I will say I'm not sure which characters are being split, but I think the voice acting for the English version, especially for the main character, is fucking incredible. So I would recommend, if you have to pick one, go English.
I see. And Ryla, for your recommendation?
User in your channel timed out.
Oops. I'll get him when he hops back. But for, what did he do? SAO? Yeah, I don't know. I've heard either way about SAO.
Generally just do dubs for your first time. Like,
gotcha.
Like, you're not used to reading an anime, so don't try it. Like, you'll get there eventually if you want to do subs. I generally do dubs most of the time, but there are a lot of anime that I do watch subbed because it's a lot like easier if I don't like the voice actors or if it's something I'm gonna like actively watch. Like, there are a lot of comfy animes that I will just like have on in the background and I won't be like reading the subs.
I'm pretty comfy going either way on it, to be honest. I've gotten to the point where I can watch either. There are very few anime that I feel very strongly about doing the sub or the dub. For Bebop, I think you're pretty good, but yeah, I think Ian makes a good point. Don't go too far. Just try to do a dub thing first off, and I think Bebop has a pretty good dub. So,
alrighty.
And yeah, we have lost Rila, but we'll bring him back as soon as we can. Ian, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, the best thing about anime though is because in the West it's mostly watched by people who don't have jobs and like. Or at least a significant portion of the audience don't have jobs, it's pretty fucking easy to find it all for free online. It's great. You never need to pay for anime. I personally do, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, Crunchyroll is a good place to start. There are many other methods, name, which I'm not going to talk about on the air, that you could use to acquire them.
So they begin with T and end with orienting the shit out of it.
All right.
Not much left up to the imagination there.
And now the ultimate push, Artemis. Have we convinced you to watch an anime, and which one?
The hard sell on Cowboy Bebop is intriguing. Bringing it back to my cultural history. I've had a bit of introduction to it via a previous corporation of mine who are completely obsessed. So I think that one will win out if I do find the time to delve into this piece of internet culture. Then I'd say that one would win if I have the time.
Yeah, dog.
Sorry, Jin. You just...
No, in fairness to Jin... Well, actually, no. In unfairness to Jin, in fairness to Code Geass, that was a pretty shit pitch for Code Geass.
Oh, fuck you. I'm trying to make it, like, kind of cool. You know, it's a pretty dystopian thing, and that's the part I love about it, is the fact that it's just a tale of revenge that happens to involve giant robots.
But you skipped the whole reason for the revenge. His mom got assassinated.
That's not in the first episode, is it?
If it isn't, it's pretty goddamn close.
It's like the second or third episode. But like, I didn't want to take that emotional punch out of it. That's like one of the best parts of it. That's the point at which it was like, all right, now I need to watch all of this thing. Holy shit, that's brutal.
His mom gets killed and his dad essentially abandons him. He's a prince, but he's not very high up in the line of succession, and he basically uses this newfound power to kickstart a revolution in Japan that is based essentially a vehicle for his personal revenge as he one by one mows down the royal family and tries to take over the entire world to kill his father.
It's pretty fucking great.
Yeah, and because of his ability to make anyone do any command, and the guy's pretty smart in general, and this one extra mystical edge that he can only employ once per person. That's another very important thing. So he can give you one command, but only one. He can't do it again to you. It's used, combined with his tactical brilliance, to pull off some of the most amazing military plays and plots and reversals that has ever been put to anime, I think. Just some amazingly epic turnaround moments and epic triumphs and stuff. And it's emotional, it's cerebral, it's beautifully animated, violent as hell, but all for the right reasons. And the guy is like emotionally crippled. The dude is a sociopath.
He would be the kind of person who would run the best evil alliance you've ever seen.
Yeah, it's basically if you gave the Mitanni a magical ability to make his people command, follow his every word.
Code Geass is actually Mittens' favorite anime.
I'm not shocked.
That's not even a meme. That is genuinely true. It's his favorite anime.
It's like Mittens' ultimate wish fulfillment.
Speaking of Eve, I fear we have traded too far from it for an
Eve-dedicated
podcast.
Welcome to Declarations of Anime.
Oh no, please no.
I already have the title for this anime picked out, or for this this anime.
No. Gone too far.
This episode.
Shigeki no Weeb.
I don't even know what that means, it's funny.
Oh well.
Oh my god. Alright, so back to Eve stuff. go watch all three of these animes. They're all pretty good. Although actually, Sword Art Online has been described by multiple like people in the quote anime reviewing community, end quote, as the worst anime of all time.
Uh oh.
Sword Art Online is the fucking it's the EastEnders of anime. Like a lot of people watch it and it's pretty good. Don't diss it just because it's normie feel.
But that means if it's normie feel, then it is a good introductory, if I understand correctly.
It's pretty, I'd say it's almost westernized in like how it's presented, but that's just due to the MMO kind of.
Here's the issue.
Back saying.
My view on SAO. SAO is like a summer blockbuster of an anime. It's great. It's well animated, it looks great, you got characters that are pretty likable, but you can't think about it for more than a few minutes. Not maybe initially, but after the first couple episodes, they do some shady stuff, like having the protagonist suddenly be way stronger than he is previously, with no real explanation. Having him be so strong that he's practically untouchable, having him suddenly develop hacking skills, like toward the end of the show, that he never had before and probably could have used to, like, escape the whole situation in the first place if he had. There's no explanation for why he has this. He just does. And the ending has to be a pretty big suspension of disbelief, even beyond, like, all the suspension of disbelief that you've already accepted up to that point. It's like, okay, it's a show. Here are the ground rules of that show and the universe that it's in. And then it says, fuck you, to its own rules. So, that's not great, but when you're in the moment, you don't think about it, because you're along for the ride and it's good. It's like the Suicide Squad of anime.
I've not seen that film.
You aren't missing much.
Alright.
I enjoyed it in the theater, and then didn't like it the next day. Let's put it like that.
Okay, it seems like Riella might not be coming back. Got another call, apparently.
Okay. Well, if he does pop back, we'll bring him back in. Let's move to the next topic, which is the first faction Titan is dead. Oh, wait, faction Dread.
No, it's a Titan.
Faction Titan. Fuck him.
Can't even bother.
Fuck it.
The link. This is why we don't let you do anything important.
I linked the kill mail for you.
I know, but I was like, no, it can't be, right? Yeah, faction Titan, the Vanquisher. This is the Serpentis Titan. Clocking in officially on the kill board at, 413 billion, which I think is probably low. I gotta imagine a faction Titan, the hull is worth a lot more than they're giving it.
Well, that's actually pretty accurate to what it was estimated at. Don't forget that an average Titan now is about 110. So that's about three times the cost of an average tit.
Okay. I thought they were more in the 250-ish range.
No, the VPCs for them were ridiculously cheap because you could just get them by doing random bullshit in PySec. I want to note this guy is obviously a poor because he did not have two officer cap recharges. What a scrub.
Indeed.
Yeah, he's running now with some lame Imperial Navy cap rechargers. Total bullshit.
God damn. He's not even got an officer micro warp drive either. Kids these days don't know how to blink.
The scrubs.
And I mean, I saw the comment, the Vanquisher has a bonus to its web strength, like all Serpentis ships do, and he doesn't have a web fit. He's got SIBOs, he's got a tracking computer, but no
web.
I
believe it had a bonus to... Oh, no, sorry, I'm thinking of the Supercarrier, which has a bonus to the web projector, which is a bit different. Three.
So
I'm looking up the official stats for the Vanquisher. Let's see what it's got here. For those unfamiliar with it, and why would you be? It's like one of the rarest ships to ever see. You can get two bonuses like any Serpentis ship. So it has Galenti bonus and a Mimitar ship bonus, both for the Titan skills. Galenti Titan skill, 5% bonus to rate of fire, and a 6+ bonus to warp core strength per level. Mimitar Titan bonus, 10% bonus to web effectiveness, so not range, but the strength, and a 6% bonus to warp core strength, again, per level. So you can make your webs 50% stronger, which essentially will stop people, period. If you have a faction one on, they will go even like less than 5% of their speed. And all told, what is that, 60 warp core strength?
Well, I mean,
that's crazy.
It doesn't really matter.
One or one bubble or one, hick point.
Right, yeah, of course.
He did die in low sec, so it had to be a hick. Had he had, perhaps, Haws instead of the Ion Siege Blasters, maybe he would have stood a chance of defending himself, but... Yep. Can somebody quickly... I know Cormac is a Serpentis officer. What about Draclyra? Is that a Serpentis officer?
No, that's a Blood Raider, I believe.
Oh, wow. So this guy, not a Serpentis, not even an Angel Cartel, just completely throwing the RP out the window.
That admittedly, that is my, like, minimal knowledge. I googled that person's name and it came up with a Bratz doll. What the fuck? Yep, Blood Raider pilot. I'm so good.
So pro, like, totally.
I didn't just see a name that sounded like Dracula and thought that's probably Blood Raiders, to be honest.
It does kind of go along the whole, it's the blood thing. I mean, let's be real. Yeah. I don't mean to be racist, but...
Space racist.
Racist against vampires. So, that's pretty epic. It was killed by 127. Yes, 127 combined Project Mayhem, Snuffed, and Laser Hawks. Look like a big old pile of dreads.
If you were racist against vampires, would you burn a cross in their yard, or would you just leave it up?
You'd leave it up.
Alright.
Or you'd leave it up, then burn the house. Which,
that makes much more sense. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, really, in hindsight, that kind of makes more sense for anyone. Like, if you're going to burn a cross in somebody's yard, why would you stop there? But I'm not really in the head of a KKK member, so I couldn't tell you.
It's just a lowercase t for time to leave. If South Park's taught us anything. Oh, God. let's get out of this racist rabbit hole before we go any deeper.
White rabbits, Jen? Are we back into it?
I think we're in the Matrix now.
Oh, shit, son. But yeah, pretty epic. Quite a big loss. Congratulations to Snuff, Laserhawks, and Project Mayhem for getting that elite kill. Moving on to some host highlights. I had an epic stream on Friday. Epic, epic, epic day for streaming. There had a big seminar called Eve, Geography, and Geopolitics, where I took a note from the Yintan playbook and did an extended look at a map and walked everybody through it, except instead of focusing on some particular conflict area and going deep into it, I pulled way back and took a look at the whole Eve map, and basically the idea was it would be a primer for alphas or other people that were unfamiliar with 00, or just the layout of the Eve universe. You know, what's where, and what are the big jumps and populated corridors, which of the regions that are on the very map that are blank are actually nullsec, not low and high, who lives there, who lives in the null-controlled regions, what's the deal with the drone regions? You know, what are all the gaps in the map, the areas where there are no space at all, that kind of stuff.
So basically you did what I did in my video, Spheres of Influence, but you went over more of the areas.
And I didn't really go into the, like, you talk about a lot of the mechanics of cap projection and escalation theory and that kind of stuff.
No, you're thinking of my older videos, the ones where I was talking about the Winter War. I did one recently where I did exactly what you said. I went over every single region, nullsec region in the game, and talked about who lives there and what they do. And
it was a very good video.
I'm going to have to check that out.
I linked it in the Skype.
It is a bit outdated now, however.
It's already outdated. I knew that was going to happen.
Kicked out of Syndicate.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, I also talked about the relationships between people. Not only did I touch on, say, a military reasons of why everyone in Branch is probably friendly with everyone in Tribute, but I also touched on the historical stuff, like how the map changed when the drone regions were added, what the dynamics between the Russian blocks and why they're usually their own thing. Talked a little bit about the relationship between Goonstorm and Red Alliance, the rise of the Imperium, the fall of the Imperium, and all that kind of stuff, and how it played into the map as well.
Now, for
why no one cares about Fountain right now, things like that.
For those who missed it live, is there a VOD up somewhere which they can catch up?
Absolutely, there is a VOD on YouTube and a VOD on Twitch. So pick your poison; you can do either one.
That's twitch.tv/ALEK, correct?
Correct. And we'll probably be linking some of this in the show notes as well. But not only that, so I have the thing, and then, you know, the thing happened. I turned it off for like a half hour, but then it went so much longer than I planned. I only was expecting to do an hour. It wound up going 2.5 because we had a lot of questions in the stream chat. I did the whole thing live. I decided to go on Breakfast Club, which turned out was in fact happening, even though I never heard back from Dell's text. So we did do a Breakfast Club room with Noir. I hopped in my Jackdaw. We went out to low sec, and it did not take long to get one of the best fights I've been in quite a while. We initially lost horribly. We tried to engage, a small roaming fleet, including some curses and stuff, and we did okay. And then we tried to catch a devoter that was jumping through to the other side. That devoter, of course, had a Sino on it. And the carrier involved was using one of the warp scrambling fighters. We could not kill it in time, and we lost some ships. We had to warp off. The carrier warped off with us and landed at a citadel, and then, for some fucking reason, decided to jump. So it like, all their caps left, and the Sino was still up. So we immediately made the call to head back down to the gate and re-engage the fight and kill. We did bring down the devoter. We bring down a lot of their light tackle. We brought down an oracle that had warped in and tried to get some sniping happening. It was a really great fight, and it wound up being a pretty solid loss on our end, too. I think we actually came out ahead by the end of it. because we made an instant decision to re-engage that fight after the caps left. And they brought in more, but that carrier pilot was not as good as the first one, and we did much better.
Well, they brought in two carriers, actually, on the initial drop. It's just one followed us off to the Citadel. And you were right, it was a fantastic fight. Quite the roller coaster of emotions from a pretty disheartening loss to a very fun victory.
Artemis, why don't you talk about your highlight?
Yeah, sure. So my highlight, as I mentioned in my shout-out, Delator is running the Mercenary Coalition Alliance tournament team. We're starting things up even though CCP has not put out an announcement, and it sounds like we're not going to be getting access to Thunderdome for quite a while until after the Theomachy event. But we're doing things anyway. We're heading out to the test open practices, and it's just a load of fun. I really enjoy the theory crafting for the Alliance tournament, stretching my skills with EFT and getting used to PIFA because EFT hasn't been updated in forever. And flying is always fun. I'm getting to do logistics thing again. So highly recommended if anybody wants to get into the Alliance tournament. Take your shot. Just see what you can do. And even if not, put a team together and make your way out to the Alliance or the test Alliance open practices. Watch the fights. It's always a good time.
Yep, I know I'm going to be spending a lot of time watching those practices because I intend to run for AT Commentator this year.
Oh, interesting. Let's hope CVA's Alliance Tournament team is a little bit better than their EVENT team.
Or maybe not, because it was very fun to wear a pink hat last time I was commentating. Yeah, my host highlight is obviously getting re-elected, you know, big, huge thing to happen.
That is a pretty good highlight.
Yeah, on 7.3% of all ballots, the highest in the election. I'm the most popular candidate.
Ooh.
So I'm very happy about that.
Well, I didn't realize that. Congrats.
Yeah. Beat Suetonia by 0.4%. But as you guys got over that, my host highlight is going to be the Anchor Games. I commentated a tournament that the Imperium ran, and it was bloody hilarious. Their format was ridiculous. It encouraged nothing but hardcore brawling and trading, and it was an absolute joy to commentate because things just constantly blew up. And you got to constantly talk about it, and you had to be like super high energy to do it.
Now, this was not a public tournament. This was strictly in-house.
No, anyone could join. In fact, EVENT joined in. A team of quote-unquote EVE celebrities joined in, which was Rogue One, or Rouge One, as we were calling them. Templus Calcif from Faction Warfare joined in. Yeah, it was kind of open. Anyone could join in.
Are there videos of this up anywhere that we can go and take a look at, enjoy the fun?
I believe you can on Imperium.news, the INN website.
There should be VODs on Twitch as well.
There's VODs on the Imperium News Twitch as well. There we go. That's my shilling done.
Good shilling, my friend. Good job.
Thanks. I'll be collecting my multi-tens of dollar empire soon. But no, it was absolutely amazing fun. I recommend people take a look next year because it's going to be rerun at some point.
All right. Let's hop into the region descriptions. Now, Artemis, because we don't have Rila with us, can you take Bleaklands?
Yeah, sure, I can do that. Give me a sec to read over it.
Surely. Now, Rila had to go away for work reasons, so we're going to be closing out the show. But I really want to thank him for joining us. I really encourage you guys to do the Theomachy event. It's going to be super fucking cool. I'm going to kick things off by reading Tenerifus, which is a region I've got a little bit of history with. Nor had some space there for a long time. We had allies there. It's where our Titan was built. The Titan that had a miraculous birth, I would like to say. It was like days from completion, and the space that was being produced then was being under attack by Stainwagon. And, oh my god, we were like running down there to try to save it. And so we actually had a SAV fight against the Russians, but managed to hold out in time for the thing to get produced. It was the craziest thing. Definitely the craziest SAV fight ever been in. But anyway, let's see here. Dividing much of the southern expanse into two, Tenerifus axes with a transit corridor and a sinuous line of fortification, having seen plenty of violence in its recent bloody history. As with most of the outer territories, the advent of the Capsuleer era brought wealth and warfare in equal measure. Indeed, the mere mention of the names of some of its systems will unsettle Capsuleers all across the cluster.
Alrighty. The Bleak Lands. When Sani Sabek cults were first deemed heretical by the Council of Apostles millennia ago, they were driven out of the homelands of the Amar Empire. Many of them fled to the Bleak Lands, where they sulked in hiding for centuries, fighting amongst themselves until one stood victorious. The Blood Raiders. The Bleaks remained their seat of power until June 107, when, following the horrors of Mebnan, the Amar Navy descended upon the region with all their fury and rage, forcing the Blood Raiders to retreat out of the Bleak Lands. Their presence is still felt, as the region remains a lawless danger to even the most wary traveler. Recent times have pushed this traditionally neglected region once more back into a position of some prominence. The brief War of Defiance was fought almost entirely within this region, and the ripples of that conflict and its fiery conclusions are still spreading. Many see the Bleaks as the central battlefield of the oft-predicted conflagration between the Empire and its former slaves, ensuring that some, at least, still have serious plans for the volume.
I'm going to be going over the Citadel, which is something that admittedly doesn't is a place that most people will know for being kind of near Jitta, but not quite actually in Jitta. I originally actually thought it was the Marian region because of the name of our forums, the CVA forums, is the Citadel. So that was a bit silly. Acting as both an ideological fort as well as a physical impediment to invasion, the Citadel is among the most well-fortified regions in the cluster. Despite their penchant for squabbling and competing with each other, nearly every Kandari corporation keeps a presence here, all working diligently to defend their home. After having been ejected from one homeland, the Kaldari are not about to suffer such a fate again. The Citadel stands as a proud testament to that resolve.
I like that Yin add a little French flair for the Kaldari exiles from the Glenty space. The penchant, if you will.
Penchant. That's penchant. Yeah. I can't pronounce it with like an English accent, so I have to do French for some reason. I cannot say that word with an English accent.
Sounds awesome, man. Sounds awesome. Alright, guys, that's it. Head to decorationsofwar.com to participate in the show poll when this episode goes up. Feel free to leave a comment as well or contact us on Twitter if you guys want to say something about the episode or have a question that we can answer in the next one. It's my turn to shill. The capitalist army is recruiting, and we can use a few good new capitalists. We are growing in ranks. We're not, almost at the 20 pilot mark, which is pretty great. We're getting some nice-sized fleets together, 3, 4, 5 people going out regularly. It's a fresh way to play LoSec, and we have big plans. So come on in, join Capitalist Chat in-game for more info. And wherever you are, good hunting, listeners.
Fly smart.